Social commentary has always been something that we should pay attention to. Social commentary artwork, for me, is one of the things that I connect with more and even sometimes struggle with, because there's interpretation that has to come with it. It's like a parable in itself. And these days, be it fine art or even computer memes, it's social commentary, but they're important. They are the prophetic illustrations, they're prophetic voices of our time. They're not new to us here in this country. They've been around a long time. That one's from 1918. Yes, sir, I'm here on a little booziness trip headed to Canada. So clearly there is a social commentary on what folks are doing at the time. There's a lot of social commentary for our time now. Church is not exempt from that. Christmas packages. Jesus on the cross, looking down into the valley over all kinds of churches, not just one. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Give them something to eat, Jesus says. I like you better when you stick to religion, Jesus. Why is it that whenever I ask Jesus to come into my life, he always brings his friends? His friends are those who are the most vulnerable in our time. Like with the messages from the prophets of ancient Israel, we don't particularly want to hear what they have to say. Their messages can bring a variety of experiences to us when we see them. If we connect with them immediately, experience great truth in them, that could trigger pain, anger, and despair, but it could also bring hope, because maybe for once you see that somebody else besides you in that understanding has that understanding. So there might be a ray of hope. If we don't experience a sense of the truth in what those social commentaries are projecting, then we can just think that they're false and we feel judgment because we think that they're just wrong. Again, pain and anger can come from that. But, you know, we can also experience their message and have no reaction at all. I mean, really, we're reacting to social commentary through our understanding of faith, because we can't take our understanding of faith out of things, and we will see things and maybe not even know it's a reflection upon our society of what's going on. We become so out of touch with what it means to live with our faith in the world that we just feel disconnected. And that may bring confusion, not even knowing. Social commentary, by its very nature, is designed to challenge us to see ourselves from a different perspective and to challenge us to be better than we are. Our Gospels are, in a sense, a type of social commentary in the time of Jesus. They were written long after Jesus' earthly ministry and long after his resurrection. The writers were not eyewitnesses, but they were gatherers of stories. They gathered the stories, they interpreted it through where they were in a more holistic perspective, but then they became storytellers as they compiled them and put them together for particular audiences and particular places. One thing we know about the writer of Luke is that they were connected with the stories of Jesus that pertained to the most vulnerable in their society. And at the time, some of those folks who were the most vulnerable were the resident foreigners. Because they had moved there, and really anybody who didn't have family to rely on, well, they were vulnerable. And one of the most vulnerable are the widows. They did not have a safety net to protect them from injustice. Luke mentions a number of widows in the ministry of Jesus. In this gospel, we hear Jesus recognize that the poor widow has given more than all the other wealthier patrons of the temple because she has given all that she has. And he condemns the scribes who devour widows' homes. He condemns those who are preying on the most vulnerable. But in addition to being vulnerable, widows also appear as prophetic, active, and faithful. Certainly the widow who gives her last coin is not only vulnerable, but also a model of faithful generosity. The first widow of the gospel is Anna, the prophet, who spreads the good news of Jesus' birth. Jesus, in his inaugural sermon at Nazareth, mentions the widow of Zarephath, who feeds Elijah from her meager supplies in the famine, and whose son is returned to life by the prophet. It's an act that Jesus replays in the raising of the only son of the widow of Nain. All of these widows that have, in our examples here, appear only in this gospel. Also, which includes the widow that we heard in today's parable. The most vulnerable are important to a life in faith, as experienced certainly through the gospel of Luke. Today's parable begins with saying that Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. So we're told what the parable is about. We're told that the parable is about our need to pray always and not to lose heart. And then what that parable is we hear a parable about this widow who is being treated unjustly by society and how a judge just doesn't care. Well, he doesn't care until it begins to affect him, and then he cares. The parable is actually equivalent to social commentary artwork. We'll get to that in a second. So Jesus says in this parable, "In a certain city there was a judge who never feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.'" Now, the listeners of this story originally, they would have been very uncomfortable. Okay, there's a widow being treated unjustly. That would have made them uncomfortable. And there was nobody there with her. She was by herself, representing herself to the judge. That would have made them uncomfortable. But it made them uncomfortable because there were laws in place that required those who were listening to actually take care of the widows. There were laws in place to take care of that, but clearly this was not happening or Jesus wouldn't be preaching this parable. This is what Jesus is experiencing, and he's preaching this parable. There would have been a sense of nervous laughter throughout them because, yeah, okay, he calls them the judge, but he knows she would never have to go to the judge if they were doing what they were called to do, supposed to do. It says, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. Now, her persistence and call for justice is such that the judge characterizes her actions as those of a boxer. Now, it's difficult to discern this boxing image when we have just heard our gospel from the NRSV, from the New Revised Standard Version, which translates the judge's words as, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. In the original Greek, though, the judge says, because this widow causes trouble for me, I will give her justice so that she may not, in the end, give me a black eye by her coming after me. Very different, because it truly was a boxing reference. Okay, so Jesus is throwing it out there in this parable, but there's also a sense of little humor that's going on with it too. Not funny humor, but there is this sense of humor that is built into this, and which is where I need you to use your imagination for a second. This is where I say this parable is actually an image of social commentary, and so I can see it. There's a widow. Big giant gloves, probably, because you know they would want to exaggerate different parts of social commentary as they would, and I can just see her reared back and a head going, and who she's hitting is somebody, call him a judge or whatever, but clearly they'd be wearing purple because who she's fighting against is the powers that be. She's fighting against the rich and the wealthy who are controlling this understanding. So it's that snapshot. But it would have made them even more uncomfortable because they know that really that person in the purple is them, because they're not living into the laws that God has set for them to follow. Jesus begins this whole thing for us to have an example of to pray always and not lose heart. Yeah, we need to pray always and not lose heart. We have to know that whatever it is that has gotten people away from following the law and allowing the widows to be vulnerable, that we do need to pray always. We do need to not lose heart. We need to be persistent in seeking justice for those who are experiencing injustice. Now, in the end of this parable, it's, you know, tacked at the end about Jesus asking, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We may find the beginnings of this answer in the gospel itself, because it's woven through where Luke has answered this already for us. We see faith within the gospel of Luke in a variety of unexpected places. We see it in the centurion who believes Jesus will heal his slave even from a distance. Not a faithful Jew, but a centurion. We see it in a sinful woman who anoints Jesus' feet. We see that act of faith. We see the act of faith of friends who climb up on a building with their paralyzed friend, dig a hole in the roof, and drop him down through. Faith. We see it in the bleeding unclean woman who touches Jesus' cloak in that crowd, and it is her faith that healed her. We see it in the Samaritan leper, whose gratitude, he turns back to Jesus and prostrates himself in thanksgiving at Jesus' feet. It was his faith that made him well. We will see it later in this chapter, where the blind beggar sees Jesus for who he is and calls to him. The Son of Man will find faith, but it may be in the most unexpected places. It's not among the religious professionals. It's not of those who are certain of their own righteousness. Son of Man will find faith among the outsiders, those who are just unlovely, unclean, the ones that society has made them certain of their sinfulness. For us, it is the vast array of social commentaries that cry out day and night. If we listen to the prophetic voices, Jesus just might find the faith on earth that he died for. Amen.